I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We needed every single rep of all of those guys. It was our first opportunity as a program to compete with somebody in the stands. And so warm-ups were our first, pregame locker room, halftime locker room, a timeout, all of those things. Every single possession, whether we had the ball or we didn't have the ball, we needed all of those reps.
So that's Buzz Williams after Maryland beat UMBC 82-81 the other night. Exhibition game, but still, it was probably a little closer than they won. A lot of guys injured, including Miles Rice, who we didn't know was hurt, but was there on crutches and a boot. Farrell Payne led them with 26-9. Darius Adams, the freshman, had 19. Elijah Saunders, 13. What do you think of the Terps coming off a one-point win over UMBC as they head into regular season action next week?
Well, first of all, I think it is just certainly an opportunity to reset the fact that it and I have to just get my mind around this from here on out. And I know this year is extreme given the nature of last year's roster and the bald rat quitting on the program. So it throws it up into more change. Or that sort of inertia, if you will. But my God, do these? It's totally different. Like I remember last year being like watching them early in the year, and being like, "This is a completely different team." Like it's completely different again. Like it's completely
the entire roster is
entirely different. Yeah. So I we're all going to just have to keep an open mind. They're going to have to get to know each other. We were all blown away how quickly it came together last year. Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's not going to happen that way this year. Like the adjustment periods, the playing around with rotations. I mean, last year it was pretty much all set. Oh, Queen's totally ready for this. They made one change, right? Rice wasn't starting, then Rice started.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
You knew your five man, you knew they didn't really have much of a bench. You kind of like it coalesced quickly. And we were all sort of astonished that it did. And I think we just need to maintain that mindset because I think there's going to be a lot of experimenting going on. I think there's going to be this. I think we're going to see multiple permutations of lineups and second teams. And it might be like a hockey team with wholesale line changes early. He's got a lot to sort out. I know he's bringing some dudes with him. And then you add in the specter of injuries very close to the season on top of it. I think it's going to, I'm not expecting them to be doing, blowing people out of the barn early. I don't care who they're playing.
Well, and you add the fact, Jason, that they aren't playing the cupcake schedule that they did last year under Kevin Willer. They're actually playing a non-conference schedule, and they're going to Vegas for that tournament in which they play Gonzaga and UNLV. And I think fans are going to have to be patient with this because it is a brand new team, because it is a brand new coaching staff. I could see this team kind of taking some lumps early on in the season before they're able to find themselves.
I'm curious about where Beltway Ben is on these Terps because he is a Maryland fan. Like, how are you feeling? What did you think of the other night? The injuries obviously factor in, but how do you feel about this team as they enter the season?
Concerned. I think it's going to be a lot of ugly basketball. I think they're going to get blown out a lot. They don't play defense. And again, there was a secret scrimmage and we only heard the score. But I didn't take anything from it because, we don't know who played, how it went.
That was West Virginia, right?
Right. Yeah, and they put up 90-some points. But then you watch UMBC go out and do what they did and score as much as they did.
They are a manic, frantic, high-scoring team.
Yeah, which is weird because...
But UMBC, I'm saying. UMBC, UMBC, I played a lot of UMBC overs last year. I'm just saying in general.
Yeah, and the Terps also
UMBC's
played,
got experience backcourt, they run and gun.
They weren't scoring like that on last year's Terps team.
No, Terps I'm not. Look, dude, last year's Terps, totally different animal.
Yeah, well, it was more about the Terps' defense than it was UMBC's offense. They weren't good. And again, like, Farrell Payne's a true traditional Big Ten big. I think he's going to be awesome. But I don't know what's going on with the injuries. And Buzz is very quiet about it. He talked about how he hides stuff. Like, I don't know. I'm concerned. I think it's going to be an ugly year. And as Tim just mentioned, with that schedule, it could be ugly early on, like very early.
Yeah, no cup bone. They're going to what, Vegas? They're
at Marquette, UNLV, Gonzaga, Virginia. Yeah, they're playing a legit non-conference schedule where last year, I want to say they were in the 300s in terms of strength of schedule non-conference-wise. This isn't cupcakes this year.
No, the Bald Rat didn't want to play anybody. Oh. He didn't like playing anybody. So I'll give Buzz credit for that, playing some teams. But, man, I don't know. Like, I don't know how good this team is going to be at full strength, but that the reality is they're not at full strength.
I just think the situation that he came into, you know, with – them in the Sweet 16, you weren't. There was no AD here. Like, it was a weird, frantic situation that Buzz walked into. Where I think this first year, you're gonna have to have some patience. You're gonna have to show him some grace a little bit.
They play Georgetown what, Friday?
Yeah.
Like, how good is Georgia? We get DHS reunion. That'll be fun. But like, Ben, what do you think of Maryland? I think we might learn a lot about this team. How they play against Georgetown.
Months ago, I was hyped. Now I'm worried about having to hear Cordell. here. I mean, Georgetown's moving in the right direction. I still don't think Georgetown's a very good basketball team. I don't know how good of a coach Cooley is. Bad person, but I mean, we'll see. Like, wow. He is. Awful person. Respect for him. Wow. Ask around the Big East. There's two of them. And I'm pretty sure the Bald Rat's pretty tight with them, too. I'm sure
That would explain a lot.
That they are very close. Quickly touch on some Maryland football. Indiana Saturday. They just put up a 50 burger on UCLA last week. They're coming to town. It's homecoming. Is Rocco going to the game?
Of course. No, is he going to be there? And is anybody else in that student section going to be there by halftime? I don't know the answer to that. I have some suspicions. I think Indiana is really getting off on flexing their newfound muscles. And I think over the course of four quarters, they're going to prove to be what Vegas thinks they're going to be, which is 3+ touchdowns better than Maryland. And it might be more like 4.
22.5 point
favorites. So it's going up. It was 20, up. Open to 21. 20, yeah. It's going
22.5 point favorites. And Terps coming off a bye, and Lox is still looking for that first win off a bye.
I would like to point out, last time I was at a Terps game, we stormed the field. It was a big upset over USC. I will be there Saturday. I'm just saying.
That's huge.
And if they do, I will be on that field. If they take down Indiana, I will be storming the field.
They beat the number 2 team in the country. Everything's changed.
Absolutely.
Everything's changed.
Yeah. Let me ask you. It's much different than storming it after an unranked USC. Yeah.
I've had conversations with some people who I won't say are like totally in the know, but are fringy on the know. I think Lox is in a lot of trouble.
I think he will get one more year. That is my hunch. I think next year will be a make or break for Lox.
But I thought this was make or break before it started, and you guys came back from the cookout very confident.
I don't. A 52-7 type game here would not serve him well.
If they lose 52-7, are you in the stadium when the game ends, Beltway Ben? Are you one of those people that stays till the end no matter what?
Absolutely.
Well, you might as well, because getting out of some of those lots.
I know. I always stay. I'm going to enjoy myself. But, like, Sigs will run it up. I mean, Cignetti, he doesn't play. He doesn't do, like, it's kind of like Franklin, except Cignetti shows up in some big moments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dude, he went
to Oregon and spanked him.
Yeah.
And I have so much respect. He's got swag. He's older. Like, they don't make him like Sigs.
Do we know anything about his leanings?
Not sure.
Probably Ben's got the book on everybody, by the way.
Yeah.
You ask Ben, like, red or blue, he knows.
Was that his opening press conference when somebody's asked him and he goes, I win Google me?
Yeah. I mean, like,
that was great.
You don't see many people doing that.
Yeah. I win Google me. Maryland and Indiana this weekend. What's it, 3:30? And you can hear that game right here on 105.7 The Fan. If you aren't near a radio, that game's nationally televised. So Maryland has a chance to show up against a big opponent, number two ranked Indiana Hoosiers. Coming up next, by the way, Tim Murray, best from college football, coming up at 3:30. But the Toronto Blue Jays evened the World Series last night. It's tied two games apiece. Game five is tonight. We got that game right here on 105.7 The Fan. I think we do. We recap. Twib Notes next here on the.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a fly ball to deep left center field. Headed back there. It is gone. Brown Jr. gives the Jays the lead. The franchise face putting the team on his back.
Vlad Guerrero, well, he went 2-for-4 with a home run and two RBIs. Also walked in the game, helping lead the Blue Jays to a 6-2 win over the Dodgers in L.A. This series is tied two games apiece. Game five is tonight. You can hear it right here on 105.7 Fan. I did not have it on my bingo card. Shane Bieber outpitching Shohei Ohtani.
I didn't either, and I didn't have it on my bingo card. Ohtani was really good. And I mean, look, for Ohtani to do what he did, Bieber was sitting in a dugout or maybe even a hotel room the night before when that game got
crazy.
No,
he was there because they had him stretching in the bullpen. Okay, in like stretching.
So he was,
because they thought about him bringing him in.
It's still an off day. The other guy played 18 innings of baseball.
Sure.
I was surprised he let him go out there in the seventh. And look, I was sitting on an Ohtani to win ticket. I thought he'd get a couple of runs, a run support. I thought he'd pitch well for five or six and that they could maybe beat up on Toronto's bullpen and hold that lead and get me the win. Being an Ohtani guy, I was shocked he let him start the seventh. He gives up the leadoff hit. I'm shocked he lets him face anybody else. And then things got worse from there. You're bringing relievers in with runners already on base. And then Toronto pulled away. I still thought what Ohtani did was great. Yeah, I thought the Dodgers would get to Bieber more also. And the reality is this Dodgers like offensive output's been pretty pathetic almost all October long.
The entire postseason, saw this tweet earlier. Ohtani has an OPS of 1,182. Oh, yeah. Every other Dodger, 682 OPS. And Mookie Betts has been...
Everything's a pop-up.
Yeah.
No show.
Freddie, I feel like Freeman Freddie's getting locked in. Will Smith, I think, can break out and has broken out. You just wonder about that hand. And like, you know, Teoscar can run into something. But Muncy looks fried. This is not going to be Kike's postseason, at least. I mean, I guess it still could
Pájez be. Pájez gives him nothing.
Pájez is a lost cause. Yeah, I mean, they're really scuffling to string together the kind of run-scoring at-bats that seemingly came so easy for them in September when Betts got back and when Freeman looked his best. Yeah, it's weird.
And credit to the Blue Jays because they're doing something that the Brewers and Phillies couldn't do, and that is get to that Dodgers bullpen, which, quite frankly, isn't very good, save for what they did in the 18-inning game.
They deserve a ton of credit for last night. To have that type of resiliency following a gut-wrenching loss in 18 innings earlier in the same day. And that decisive seventh inning, though, where they put up the four runs. I think Andrés Giménez at bat, to get that first run across the plate where it was eight pitches, just kind of getting bat on ball, get it into left field. I thought that was a very underrated at bat of the game.
Speaking of bullpen, How about future Oriole Chris Bassett, what he's done coming out of the bullpen?
Is it him or Bieber?
I think maybe both. I was joking with Beltway Ben in the bullpen before the show that I think both those guys smell like Orioles. But 6 2/3 out of the pen this postseason, just one hit and one walk, 8 strikeouts for Chris Bassett. He's been a lockdown guy for them out of the pen.
An X factor. He's been a hidden gem. No two ways about it.
It's tomorrow.
Yeah, it's been an interesting chess piece for them. Just think about that game. They've got Bichette playing on whatever he's playing on.
He had a key RBI double.
No Springer.
No.
Yeah.
You lose a heartbreaking game at whatever, 3 o'clock in the morning here, midnight there. You're up against Otani, and they grind out a game like that.
So what do you think about tonight? You Savage and Snell. They got Snell out of the game early in game one.
I'm with Beltway Ben here. Like, you Savage has only pitched twice on the road in his career. And the last time he did it at Kauffman Stadium, it was bad. I just think it is different going on the road. It's different going on the road in a game five and a place that still packs in 60,000 people. I have to think that the Dodgers learned a lesson or two from the last time out. I think he was going to walk more like a normal Dodgers approach, and he's probably out in the third inning, and he's walked a couple more than
he
did.
Had 3 walks in that first game.
And like the pie has at bat. I mean, there were some at bats there where I'm just like, man, oh man. So I guess what I'm saying is I think the Dodgers can get to him, and I also think Snell. That last outing was such an outlier compared to any of his other recent ones. And he was on extended rest, and it was weird. He hasn't had control issues like that, really, as a Dodger. You got to go back to previous stints. So I lean Dodgers, but I'm not betting the Dodgers. You know, I'm not betting on them to win. I think they win.
Well, if you're the Dodgers and you somehow find a way to win tonight, Yamamoto would slate to start Friday, right?
Yep.
So you'd feel good about closing out the series.
And then Yamamoto, if memory serves, didn't he win in Toronto game two? Wasn't that him?
Yeah.
So
another complete game.
Yeah, he's been disgusting in the postseason. Baltimore fans got a good look at him as he almost threw a no-hitter against the Orioles. That was where that weird game the Orioles came back and won. But so you lean Dodgers in this one.
I mean, it's a slight lean.
And then I saw this stat put in the update. Winner of game fives in best of 7 World Series, tied at 2, have won in 31 of 46 occasions. So this is massive.
Magic Johnson just tweeted a couple hours ago, with the series being tied 2-2, game five is very important.
It's true.
Whichever team wins takes control of the series.
Magic knows.
Yeah. No, he was picking up what you're putting down, Bone.
Yeah, he was. Me and Magic, cut from the same cloth.
I'll say this. Credit to whatever happens in the series, credit to the Blue Jays making this a series. Like, I don't know what I expected in this series, but I'll tell you what. I didn't expect them winning game four after losing in 18 innings in game three.
No, I mean, again, I've been wrong on the Blue Jays forever. So, like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I've got them figured out now.
How many twibs did we do in the summer, June, July, August, or the Blue Jays?
How many times did we bring on people who keep it real, like Buck Martinez, and they were like, "Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. The skipper's going to make it that much longer." Yep. Like that goes back a while.
Yep.
They are 2 games away from winning the World Series, and they know they're taking it back to Toronto. So that's something.
Yeah, I mean. There's a part of me that still thinks the Dodgers show up when they have to show up, like in the 18th inning the other night. There's another part of me that's like, how the hell did that get to the 18th inning in the first place?
Yeah.
Right? Like, there was a lot of clutch opportunities in that game. And it's hard to repeat.
It's very hard.
It's very hard to shake this Blue Jays team. They're like that dog that just keeps nipping at your, biting at your ankle.
They're feisty.
Last team,
they are feisty.
Last team to win multiple in a row was the Yankees, right? 98 through
98, 99, 2000. Yeah, that's they won 4 in 5 years. That was something. Coming up next, by the way, Blue Jays Dodgers game 5. You can hear that game right here on 105.7 The Fan. But coming up next, college football. We're what, week 10 of the college football season? Best bets with our friend Tim Murray from VSiN next here on The Fan.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Unbelievably, we're already to week 10 of the college football season.
Sneaks up on
you. It does. And so let's go out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where we bring on our friend, IA Hall of Famer Tim Murray from VSiN. And Tim, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So this has been an odd year for the Heisman Trophy, as it seems like different guys are the finalists every couple weeks. So is there a betting favorite for you? Is there somebody like under the radar that you would put some money on? Where are you on the Heisman right now?
Yeah, it is. No, you're right. I mean, right now, your kind of five favorites, if you will, are Fernando Mendoza of Indiana, Ty Simpson of Alabama, Julian Sayin of Ohio State, Marcel Reed of A&M, and Diego Pavia of Vanderbilt. I'll go ahead and say it. Diego Pavia ain't winning the Heisman Trophy. His numbers are not anywhere near Heisman level. He's a great story. He's a great personality. They're turnt for Diego. I just don't see it. Maybe he goes to New York, but I just don't see Diego being capable of winning the Heisman Trophy. You know, I do wonder if someone like Jeremiah Smith can just kind of start to go nuclear here. The wide receiver at Ohio State, he's at 40-1. But I've got a ticket on Ty Simpson from earlier this season, guys, and I still think Ty Simpson is the best bet to make. And I know you're not getting a great number. He's plus 360, but I think it comes down to this, guys. And he did not play well. Ty Simpson did not play exceptionally well last week at South Carolina, but they got the win, right? And this is an Alabama team that is going to have a ton of opportunities here. They're going to have a primetime game, albeit against an unranked LSU team, but still primetime ABC. That's next week. They get Oklahoma. They get the Iron Bowl. They get the SEC championship game against probably, you know, Georgia or Ole Miss, right? So there are a lot of opportunities out there. On the flip side, you got Fernando Mendoza, who you guys will see on Saturday in Maryland. They have nobody of significance left. They certainly could run up the score, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did so. But you kind of have to ask yourself, is Indiana going to beat Ohio State? And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't think they will in the Big Ten championship game. You know, is there going to be massive motivation in that game now that buys aren't on the line? Remember, last year, the Big Ten championship game between Oregon and Penn State, the winner got a bye, the loser did not, right? Penn State went on to play SMU in the first round. This year, both teams will more than likely be locked into a bye and should be 12-0. So I think that's the question. And then I think it's unfair, but I think it is the truth. I think Julian Sayin of Ohio State's not going to get the credit that he deserves because the defense is the best defense in the country. And he has two elite wide receivers that he throws to, Jeremiah Smith and Jeremy Bernard. So I almost feel like Julian Sayin, unless he has a enormous performance in that championship game, he will be kind of ruled out. So to me, if I were to make a bet right now, it still would be on Ty Simpson. Am I a bit biased because I do have a ticket on Ty Simpson and no one else? yes. But you know, I think it's Ty Simpson. I guess you could make the argument for Marcel Reed. You know, I don't love his numbers. He's not a, you know, great pocket passer, but he's an elusive athlete. But yeah, that would be the way I would look at it right now. I don't necessarily right now think there's any value, air quotes, on anyone else other than kind of those four quarterbacks.
So no Diego Pavia for the Heisman, Tim, but what about Vanderbilt going at Texas? They're 2.5-point road dogs. Who do you like in that one?
Yeah, so we got to keep an eye on the injury here, injury situation. Arch Manning did practice today, according to Sark, but he is still in concussion protocol. So he took a big pop at the end of the Mississippi State game. He left the game. The backup came in, threw a touchdown pass, and somehow, some way, Texas escaped that game with a victory. I'm very conflicted on this game, Tim. Here's why. Vanderbilt obviously has been an amazing story, and they're sitting here with one loss on the year, that lone loss coming on the road at Vanderbilt, and probably a closer game than the score indicated, right? They had a couple of red zone turnovers. On the flip side, you look at this Vanderbilt team, and they've got a really impressive stretch of wins against LSU and Missouri, but if I look at that Missouri game, they were outgained by Mizzou 376 to 265. And I think this Vanderbilt offense right now is not really humming. They don't have a great defense. And I think, as crazy as it sounds, because Texas has arguably been one of the more disappointing teams in college football this year, I think you're getting Texas a little bit on sale. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Red River. And I love Texas in that spot. A lot of that had to do with John Mateer and everyone just assuming that magically he was going to be healthy with that thumb injury. He obviously was not. But I look at this game and I ask myself, okay, Texas has an elite defense, even though Mississippi State was able to have some success last week. Their starting safety was out. He did practice today. Keep an eye on that. Taffy for Texas. But I don't trust Vanderbilt's defense. Texas hasn't been home in a month, and I don't know how good this Vanderbilt offense is these past couple of weeks. So, guys, earlier today, I laid $1.30 on the money line with Texas. I think you're getting Texas on sale. Texas was a 3-point favorite a couple weeks ago against Oklahoma on a neutral, and now they're a 2.5-point home favorite against Vanderbilt. You're telling me that Vanderbilt would be favored against Texas right now? I just, on a neutral, I like Texas here. I think they're a little bit cheap, and I'll lay the money line. Do keep an eye on the injuries, though. Arch Manning, he brings a lot to the table from a running standpoint. I know everyone thinks Arch Manning's the worst quarterback in the history of the world.
It's close.
He actually is pretty mobile and helpful because of that offensive line stinking as much as it does. But I think you got to realize Vanderbilt's front has not seen a monster like they're going to see in Texas's D-line. So, in Texas, I'll take the Longhorns on a cheap money line price. That's minus $1.30 right now at DraftKings.
Things are about to get real for our undefeated midshipmen.
They blew
that thing for me there. At 41-19, I thought my minus, I took it down to like 12.5 or 13. I thought I was okay. I was not. North Texas, pretty tough outfit, and then the schedule doesn't let up a whole lot. Yeah. For the first time in a long time, the mids are catching 7. What do you think of this matchup? Are you doing anything here?
So let's just talk big picture right now on the mids, because they're a great story.
Can't play a lick of defense.
They are not very good defensively, and they're probably going to be 3 touchdown underdogs next week at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
If not more. I mean, Notre Dame, you know, for everyone who hates Notre Dame, and that's many,
yeah.
Notre Dame is, in the eyes of odds makers, probably the 3rd or 4th best team in college football right now. They're destroying everybody, and those 2 losses early on in the season have aged as well, I guess, as you can for losses. But I think if most people would take Notre Dame in Miami right now in a rematch. But that all being said, the schedule is ridiculous for Navy moving forward. When you've got North Texas this week, as you alluded to, on the road at Denton, you've got Notre Dame in a primetime spot, you come back home, you play South Florida, and then you've got Memphis. Navy's going to be an underdog in the next four games. I mean, that is so as rough of a stretch as you can ask for an American team. I had someone tweet me today saying 10-1 isn't long enough for Navy to make the playoff, and I agree. I mean, if Navy runs this gauntlet, they're in the playoff, but yikes, that is rough, man. I have not touched this game. You know, I hear what you're saying about North Texas from an offensive standpoint, but I think Blake Horvath and his offense is going to be able to have theirs against North Texas. I mean, North Texas's defense is not really impressive whatsoever. So, look, it's an enormous number. I don't know if I've ever played an over that high.
Yeah.
But where are the stops coming in this game, man? I mean, I guess the worry would be, does Navy run kind of methodical offense? But I think they're going to be able to get explosives. Yeah. This is an explosive Navy offense, man. So, yeah, nothing with the spread. I'll say this. If you're sitting back on a Saturday afternoon, I know it's the noon window. I mean, you're probably going to get swings in this game all over the place from a point spread standpoint. Drew Mestemaker, if anybody saw it last Friday night, albeit against against a high school defense in Charlotte, he threw for 608 yards. He's a pretty fun guy to watch. If I had to play it, guys, it's high, but I would probably go over in Denton on Saturday afternoon.
Wowzers.
Tim Murray, real quick before we let you go, Maryland is a 22.5-point dog at homecoming against Indiana.
Have you guys played the clip of Kurt Cignetti this week?
Which one?
Of him really talking up the team?
Oh, my God. He is straight from the Lou Holtz playbook. He is just loving up Maryland. Oh, they've got a great punter. They've got a great kicker, long snapper, short snapper, quarterback, 6'5", 230. They got a defensive coordinator. He's got two rings from the Baltimore Ravens. Like, he just went all in. I love it. He's playing those mind games. It's a great spot for Maryland, let's be honest. I mean, from a situational standpoint, it's a great spot. You're coming off a bye.
Locks off a bye is never a great spot. I think we know that.
0-10. He's never won.
He covered against Washington, though, so that's all that matters.
That's true.
You know, this number was 17.5 last week. It's up to 21.5. I can't lay it here with Indiana. I know they're a juggernaut, but no thanks on that one. I will give a parting gift for JLC because he always likes unique
guns. Oh, you got something nasty tonight?
Give me New Mexico plus 4.5 against UNLV. They, speaking of defenses that can't stop anybody, that would be the UNLV Rebels. Fast Track, Allegiant Stadium. I like New Mexico here plus 4.5. I think FanDuel still has a 4.5. So that'll be the way I'm rolling. And if you want a really ugly one, how about Rice on Halloween plus 2 touchdowns? Memphis off the South Florida game next week. Memphis has Tulane, so this is a classic sandwich spot. Now my worry would be this: Memphis has already had their clunker. They lost to UAB as a 23.5-point favorite, so they might be ready. But Rice wants this weird, kind of slow, triple option-y type of offense. So they could ugly this thing up off of that big win on deck. If you want to get real ugly with me, Rice plus 2 touchdowns on Saturday night in Houston, or Friday night in Houston.
The match is on ESPNU right now. Let's go Bayern Munich to lead after 20 minutes plus 145. Why don't you follow me on that one? Well, you want to lay the 1 for the full 45 in the first half? We could do that as well, because I think a 2-0 is not out of the question here. Just saying. If you're looking to, you're killing a little time, you're looking to put something on, a little afternoon delight there, Tim Murray.
He's won like 27 straight.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
He is on fire on
27
soccer.
Straight. It's like close. We keep it real around here,
Bone. Close.
I've never won 27 straight. Have won 14 or 15 straight, but not.
You hit like an 11 leg parlay.
Yes.
To keep
that
it real.
That was last week.
Yeah, it was last week. But Tim Murray, let people know where they can find you.
Bearing up by 120.
Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Check me out, Masson 2. I'll be talking about Bayern Munich and all the college football. The College Football Tailgate Show, check it out. And also, wherever you get your podcast, the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
Tim Murray, thank you as always for your time. We will chat next week. Enjoy the college football.
All right, see you, boys.
Coming up next is T-Bone Time, TMI with TIM. What you got?
We're going to get back into the Ravens, specifically the tight end position. dubbed one of, if not the best, tight end room in football, while the production is extremely lacking. How lacking? We'll tell you next on The Fan.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TM, and the floor is yours.
What the heck has happened with the tight end position for the Ravens? We talked a lot this offseason where, on paper, and Mark Andrews coming back after flirting with possible trade. He led the NFL in touchdown receptions by a tight end last year. Isaiah Likely in a contract year. We know the potential that he has. And Charlie Kohler as well. But right now, as we near the halfway point of the regular season, the Ravens have 279 receiving yards from their tight ends.
No bueno.
That is third fewest in the league.
No
third
bueno.
Fewest. And looking up those numbers this morning, I was, even though they've gotten no production, I was still surprised. Yeah.
239, you said?
279.
I wonder if that's less than a Rondae Gadsden II, who has been like this wunderkind for the Chargers.
The last 3 weeks, he's up around 300.
Yeah. Only the Bucs and Bears have less yards from their tight ends. And by comparison, last year, they had the fourth most receiving yards by tight mm-hmm. ends in football at nearly 1,300. So just running down the guys, Andrews, 24 catches, 208 yards, 2 touchdowns, lowest yards per catch, lowest yep. receiving yards per game. Quarterbacks, when targeting Mark Andrews, have a 90 passer rating, lowest of his career. Isaiah Likely has 5 catches for 26 yards.
That's crazy.
On 5 targets. Charlie Kohler, 4 catches, 42 yards, and then he had that touchdown last Sunday. And we know Likely suffered that fracture in his foot at the beginning of training camp. And looking up some stats on NFL Pro, they have this stat where it's the separation, average separation per target. And this is a small sample size as you can really get. Mm-hmm. 5 targets for Isaiah Likely. But 2.4 yards of separation. Last year, it was 4.3 yards. And what's also interesting, since Likely's return in week 4, Ravens have deployed 12 personnel, 1 running back, 2 tight ends, at the second highest rate in the NFL. So yeah, it's not as if Isaiah Likely's not playing, and I'm sure he's not still 100%, but put out this poll on IA1057 The Fan on Twitter. It is live until tomorrow. Ravens have 279 receiving yards from their tight ends, third fewest total in the NFL, had the fourth most receiving yards by tight ends last year. As we near the halfway point of the season, what are you expecting production-wise from that group moving forward? Moderate improvement, 40%, slight improvement, 24.8, significant, 22.9, and more of the same at 12.4. I can't imagine it's going to be significantly different at this stage of the game. And we brought up maybe Mark Andrews could even be dealt even if they win
sure.
tomorrow. That's still a possibility. But you just wonder if this could end up being a lost year for Isaiah Likely.
I just wonder, and sorry, Jason, I'm sorry to step yeah. on you. I just wonder if the fact that Likely and Lamar have not been healthy together for so long, if that has stunted Likely's season, and if, knock on whatever this is, they can stay healthy together moving forward, that Likely starts to flash.
I hope so, because you just, even when this offense was scoring 30-plus points the first 3 weeks, and when Lamar was healthy, they still were getting nothing from the tight end position. If they're able to go on a run here, they're going to have to get some production out of that group.
Look, we saw Andrews with a slow start last year. That was, you know, coming off of the accident and everything,
yep.
and then become a touchdown machine in the second half of the regular season. Likely hasn't played much with Lamar yet. I think Likely could have a breakout, frankly, in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're looking at a Miami team allowing 8.3 yards per attempt to tight ends, 25th in the league, 83.3 completion percentage to tight ends, 30th in the league. We know he's got explosives in him. I just think having these two around together, I mean, yeah, it's insurance, whatever, but that's never going to be what they thought it was going to be. But I think Likely Lamar stays healthy, I still believe that likely can salvage this season. But the likely Andrews combo platter is never going to be anything close to what they were envisioning.
No, I 1,000% agree with that. Hey, coming up next, the Orioles have a new manager. His name is Craig Albernez. What does Ryan Ripken think of the hire? And we'll get his thoughts on the World Series as well. Part of our BBT crew during the regular season. Ryan Ripken joins us next here on The Fan.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.